Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, welcome all you best people I know, whether you're in the U.S. or you're in another part of the world. We appreciate you being here and being part of our Best People We Know family, where we all help each other be our best, which is a good thing, and happiness is always one of our goals. And boy, I tell you, today's guest, Dr. Richard Norris, he's from Scotland, and he is joining us. He's going to give us seven great steps to step into our greatness. And let me tell you, I was speaking with him earlier saying, geez, just researching and reading his bio and learning about him, I am just exhausted. He does so much. And that is really a testimony for each one of us because, you know, the one thing we all have in common is 24 hours in a day. But what we don't have in common is what we do with those 24 hours. So today's going to be a great show to learn how to maximize the moment and get our priorities straight, because Dr. Richard really does that quite well. I'm going to read his bio and bring him on. You can speak with him live if you'd like at 347-637-1318, 347-637-1318. And you can get a little coaching on call with Dr. Richard. And let's see, what else? I had one housekeeping. Yes, if you would like a listing, don't want to forget this, of all of our great guests for the month, just go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, and sign up for the monthly Motivation Mind Vitamin newsletter, and you'll get at the top of the month all of our great guests like Dr. Richard, or you can just listen to us on BTR or iTunes 24/7 and download Dr. Richard's Pearls of Wisdom 24/7 and share the show with a friend. All right, well, this is exciting. Dr. Richard helps people, okay, find their purpose. Now, how awesome is that? And today he's going to give us seven steps to step into our one-of-a-kind, bright, shine greatness. Well, he's been a veterinarian delivering calves, doing eyelid surgery on leopards, to an army officer responsible for security and animal welfare, to a post-grad student, okay, in internal medicine, and got an MBA to help people, and he has become an award-winning business coach. He's also involved in business development strategies. And obviously, Dr. Richard has a great success story, and he's very dynamic, and he's quite diverse, and he has an incredible amount of wisdom to bring to us today. How many people do you know have done just that? You go to his website, drrichardnorris.com, and you will really be overwhelmed at all of the wonderful things he's done. He's totally awesome. Well, along the way, he's also captained, coached, and motivated sports individuals and teams to realize their potential. I suppose that's no surprise. What became apparent to Dr. Richard was that he truly excels in helping other people be their best, getting total results, you know, better than they ever imagined in businesses and organizations. Dr. Richard has also written a best-selling book, Hoof It, and I do have the link there on Amazon if you'd like to read that. And he presents, speaks, lectures. He talks to many institutions around the world. He speaks at conferences. He writes for a number of well-known publications. And really what's common in Dr. Richard's speaking is that his audiences will get simple, effective, and consistent tools so that they can become their best. Dr. Richard believes by example, And he's very passionate, and he inspires people to believe in themselves so that we can all have our own brilliant shine. Connect with Dr. Richard at drrichardnorris.com. It is a privilege and pleasure to welcome from Scotland Dr. Richard Norris. Hi, Dr. Richard. How are you today?
Well, I don't know who he is, but you've got me on the phone. He sounds great.
You are awesome, I'm telling you. And there's so much more for people to read when they go online to your website. And it's just such a happy place. It's very inspirational. The energy in your website is great, and the tips and the tools and all the things you're doing. I mean, really, I'm very excited about the show, and I'm sure others are as well. So thank you. You know, I was just wondering, there's so many things we can talk about, but personal growth and development being, you know, you being the guru in that, do you want to share with people what your definition is of, you know, what's your purpose? And then maybe we can get into some of the specifics on how to achieve that.
Yeah, and that's a great starting question, Deb. And it's one somebody's, I remember a lot of this all started, or it culminated more about 2 years ago when I put up a question on LinkedIn. And it was just a simple one because it's where I coach from. I said, in one word, what's your purpose? And I had 4,000 replies in about a month. And
wow.
It was quite revealing. And it was funny because at one point somebody said, oh, it's okay for you, Richard. You already know your purpose. I said, yeah, it only took me 45 years to figure it out. Is there a definition? Not necessarily, but the challenge is actually understanding what it is. I guess if I was going to define it as anything, Deb, it would just simply be, what's your divine design? You know, what are you hardwired in your DNA to be? Because we're all put on this planet for a purpose. That's my conviction. That's my belief. It's what I blog about. And the challenge is with a lot of people, I'm not saying the majority, or maybe it is actually, no, it probably is the majority of people, don't actually know the answer to that question. And as a result, they go through life bumping around, going down blind alleys, and perhaps aren't aware of that. So as a result, they always feel like there was something missing. As you mentioned, I used to be a veterinarian. And whilst that was the thing I locked onto when I was 8 years old, and I was absolutely adamant I was going to become a veterinarian, but almost as soon as I graduated, I just felt like something's missing. And it took me, I'm a slow learner, so it took me 12 years to get out of the profession. I had to go do some more post-graded stuff to figure out, I don't want to be here. And actually the profession said, we don't want you here, because despite all the qualifications I got, the market said, so what? And I said, you know, after all this, I don't want to put any more time into it. So really, for me, the corollary to that definition, Deb, with your purpose, because when you live your purpose, you will be a success. And so the other question, which I often ask audiences, okay, because sometimes it's an easier question to start with, is what's your definition of success? And amazingly, most people don't have one. Or if they do, they're borrowing somebody else's. I said, no, we've got to clarify, whether it's an individual, team, organization, or whatever, what is your definition? Because once we get that as a starting point, we're going to move.
Wow. I mean, you just said so many great things. And one of the things I love about your approach, and I think this is why you're so successful, you know, you really, you challenge the individual to ask the right question. And so many times we wonder why we don't get the right answers, but a lot of that has to do with just not having a good mentor or being aware of what the right question is. And I think that in your definition, when you talk about the passion, you talk about definition of success. You know, everybody wants to be happy, but I think that where you really excel is that idea that we're all born to be winners. We're all born to succeed. We're all born with a one-of-a-kind brilliance that we just need to release and to find. Can you talk a little bit more about this, you know, we're all born to be winners philosophy?
Sure.
That
you have. Yeah, and again, it's interesting because this sort of, this has actually been crystallized even further recently, because I was listening to a TED Talk by Simon Sinek, who wrote the book Start With Why, and he did a presentation. And the real nugget that lifted out of me or hit me home was, you know, people don't care what you do, they care why you do it. And so that's why purpose is so important. And he said, and what you believe in. And that really started my train of thought. And it really came down to me. And I started a cascade of writing. You know, here's all the things I believe in. I think I'm up to about 100 and something. And I've just started an I Believe blog. I'm on number 11. And one of the first ones I wrote was, you know, I believe that everyone's born a winner. And it really comes from my, and that's my conviction. Because when you actually think about it, and this is, I wrote this in my blog, is if you think about it, each person that shows up on this planet, the odds that you showed up are so high that there's got to be a reason why you showed up. And as a result, and you are the culmination of a winning formula. And here's why. That, you know, for you to be conceived, it takes one egg, of which there are 10,000 within any woman at any, you know, as soon as they're born, there's only 10,000 eggs. With a man at any one time, I think the numbers are, you know, there's 53 million sperm at any one time. And you just, you put those two numbers together, the fact you show up and the sperm that got through is the winner. You know, you're a winning combination the moment you were conceived. And if people just lock on to that actual truth and realize that you are conceived a winner, the likelihood is then you're born a winner. And then you, the rest of your life is just to live a winner.
Wow, I love that. And, you know, I got to tell you, the mathematics that you share really do hit you in the face. And when you think about how magnificent, you know, that idea that you just shared is, it really does change perspective tremendously. You know, we're born a winner just by the fact that we were conceived to exist. You know, it's like we already have all that winning DNA. So, you know, I just love your fresh new way of thinking. Well, let's just take this a little further then, because if we're following, you know, your train of thought, tell us what happens next as far as personal development, you know, or maybe some leadership things that you want to tell us, because there's so much to being number, if we're already born number one, then we should be sure. Winners in personal relationships, in work,
yep.
In all of that.
Oh, gosh. How long do we have? I think we need another show.
Yeah, well, we might have to, but listen, let's just take a pause here. Let people know how they can get in touch with you, because they really need to.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, as you've already been so generous to keep annotating the websites, drrichardnorris.com, you can drop by there. You can there's some free stuff on there for articles. There's a free MP3 download, or you can just drop me an email, or hit me on, or actually probably better is on LinkedIn or Facebook. My title there, U, the letter U, the letter B, and the word awesome, all one word. Hence you making reference to awesome, because I always finish every communication off with be awesome. So, and you can find me on Twitter the same way, and then we can start a dialogue from there.
Okay, great. All right. I just wanted to have a little intermission on that because I wanted to get that in. It's so important. So go ahead and proceed with your great scintillating perspective.
Well, there's three things that just immediately came to mind there. And you mentioned leadership. You mentioned relationships. And I'll link it all back into purpose. And, you know, and being a winner, because not only are we born a winner, we're also born to lead. And I know there's a chronic debate that goes on. Are we born, you know, are leaders born or are they made? And my conviction is that, and belief is absolutely that, as we just denoted, everybody's born to win, but that means you are also born a leader. And whilst you might end up, you know, being the clerk at the local post office or whatever, everyone is born a leader of themselves. And that's why my platform is about transformational self-leadership, because that's where it all starts. If you want to be a great leader, no matter whether it's a parent, whether it's, you know, in the corporate world or whatever, it's got to start with who you are and knowing who you are and making the most of yourself and leading yourself first in every area and being prepared to ask those challenging questions. But the other one that links in with that, and again, this is another absolute firm belief for me, is when it comes down to your purpose, when we understand what our purpose is and we live that purpose, here's a nugget which came as an inspiration to me, and I drop this in audiences all the time, and everybody has an aha moment about it. I said, you cannot fulfill your purpose without helping other people fulfill theirs. And if everybody did that on the planet, that would solve the world's problems. And that's an absolute conviction.
I love that. That is so awesome. And that is what a great test to decide if we are living our purpose, Dr. Richard, because if we're helping other people and they're giving us that confirmation and feedback, then that should really indicate that we're doing what we were designed to do, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And that comes back in, and that ties in with the whole thing. It's the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships. And for you to fulfill your purpose, you can't do it on your own. We are social beings. We are created that way. And, you know, one of the things I talk about and have spoken about on a few occasions is, you know, a lot of people say there's no such thing as perfect. And yeah, I get into some debates about that. But I said, and I've stood up at the front of the audiences before and said, listen, I said, how many people have teenagers? And then, you know, people say, or how many people have been a teenager? Or how many people have families or you've got relationships, you know, whether it's a work or home, rest or play? I said, think of it this way. Every single relationship you have in your life is perfect for you at this present point in time because it's there to teach you something. And so long as you take that perspective and realize it's not about you, it's about what they can teach you. Like I've got the three best coaches in my life are my wife and my two little toddlers. And my toddlers are teaching me so much right now about so many things. And I almost detach myself from myself and start asking, okay, so, you know, life's a reflection. I'm saying, what are they teaching me about, you know, how I can perfect myself? How I can become even better? You know, I'll say, listen, I have the perfect wife. I said, I didn't say she's perfect, but she's perfect for me because she's got something to teach me to help me grow and become who I'm meant to be.
And, you know, the other, just segueing back into all of the different things you've done in your life, I can see that, you know, one of the great components that we can really emulate in what you do is embracing the changing moments and realizing that everything doesn't have to be the same forever. You were a vet. And then you became, you know, a speaker and a writer and a coach and you got your MBA and, you know, all of these other things. And as you said, each relationship is teaching us something for that time. But I think a lot of people get stuck on the past. You know, why isn't this the way it was? And you have an acronym for failure and what it truly means. And I'm wondering if you could really, you know, enlighten people as to what that is all about.
Yeah, no, I'll happily do that one. And that was another one of those inspirations. I was coaching some business at some point in time. And sometimes I play around with words and just say, you know, here's an acronym for the day. And I just thought, well, I should be able to do these too. And some of it came out of coaching clients. And I remember I had this one client who said, we were talking about failure. And he said, well, I don't fail. I said, hang on a second. Every person on this planet has failed. He said, well, yeah, well, I don't. And then I just boxed him into a corner and he realized that, okay, I do. And I said, well, because if you don't fail, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you're dying. Because failure is an opportunity. It shows you in the moment you've got something to learn. And so the acronym is, if everybody wrote down on the side of the piece of page, F-A-I-L-U-R, you know, going down the left-hand side of your page, it actually stands for focused and insightful learning using real experience. Because you just had an experience.
Oh, repeat that again. I love that.
It's focused and insightful learning using real experience.
Ooh, that is great.
You just had an experience. It's then, okay, let's focus in on this. And gain the insight and the learning, bed it in, and then more importantly, share it so that it's less likely to get lost. And when you share it, you embed it in even further into who you are. And then it should be that when you do that, you go up a level. Your comfort zone moves just a little bit, you know, because your success zone is determined by the size of your comfort zone. And, you know, failure is always at the threshold of your comfort zone. And beyond it. So you've got to embrace it because how many people, and I'm guessing you're probably no different than me, Deb, we've failed at times or been afraid to fail. The thing is when we step back out of fear, that ogre, let's call it, just gets bigger and hairier and uglier, and it's harder to tackle the next time. So if you keep getting the same failure coming up, it gets tougher, it gets harder, and it usually keeps coming back because you haven't learned the lesson yet.
Wow. You know, it really is, in speaking with you, and I'm sure some of the listeners feel the same way, and Jay Early, he has a radio show as well. He's in the chat room, and he's already talking about, he loves the idea that we're all born winners just from the start. But this idea that, you know, it's very freeing to me listening to you, because I feel like, wow, everything is a gift. Everything is good. Nothing is wasted. Everything's useful. And I mean, I just feel really refreshed. My spirit feels excited about all of the opportunities. And I guess that's your gift in what you're doing now. But that is I've never heard anybody define failure in that way. And it's just a great eye-opener to finding the good in everything. You know, and you have a real gift for getting to the point real quick, and I think that you have a little 7-minute motivation that you give people with a cup of coffee. I want you to share that one too, because it's awesome.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, sure, yeah. I just, it's funny. I really appreciate your feedback, because it's nice to know and get validated every once in a while to say that actually the messages I have are useful. And where it comes to that, yeah, I came up. This sort of came out of some coaching experiences I had with some clients. And one of the challenges, and this really comes down to, you know, I sometimes get on stage or I get speaking engagements, and they say, oh, we need a motivational slot, and I've got one next week. And I pretty well open those the exact same way every time. I say, I gather I've got the motivation slot. I said, well, let me let you in on a secret. I said, I can't motivate anyone other than myself. I said, I can inspire you, but you have to turn that inspiration into your own motivator, because motivation comes from within. I can't do that. I can breathe life into you in inspiring you, but you have to turn that around and motivate yourself. And one of the things, certainly in a, if I look in a corporate sector predominantly, you know, and the title of the article you're referring to is, you know, how to motivate anyone in 7 minutes with a cup of coffee. And, you know, I learned this lesson coaching clients a while back, is the disconnect where most people have problems, because I'm guessing some of your listeners, they might be employees or the employers, or they've got sports teams and stuff, and they've got people who aren't motivated, or you're not motivated. Well, the disconnect is usually the organization that's involved has not made the connection, because they look at you in your, let's use the example of your work. They look at you in your professional capacity, and forgive the expression, but the one I'm very blunt in using is that they look at you as a piece of meat in a seat, okay? And as a result, they only look at you in one dimension. But let me ask you, Deb, just because I'll use yourself as an example. Do you ever show up at work and stuff from other areas of your life impacts adversely your performance?
Oh, I think every area of my life affects every other area of my life, absolutely.
Yeah, and in some ways it's a good thing, but more often than not, it's a bad thing. And everyone that is employed, the employers want to get the most out of their people. And I said, well, if you want to get the most, you've got to make the connection. I said, so the way I come at it, I said, listen, you look at your people. Okay, so here's you in your professional role. So what's the company want you to achieve in the next quarter? Okay, so we'll figure that out. Okay, so for you to achieve that, I'm guessing you'll have to grow in some way, shape, or form. If they don't have a training plan or a development plan, you might want to consider moving companies or at least just do it on your own and say, okay, so there's a personal development goal we have to go in there to actually achieve that. Because the personal development goal is working on who you are. And this ties in with my formula for success I use, which is called B, your B times your do equals your have. The B is who you need to be. And who you need to become. That's working on what's your personal development goals. That links into what you need to do, which is your business goal or your work goal. And then ultimately, your have goal is actually the piece of the puzzle they don't get. And the piece of the puzzle is, why do people show up at work? They show up at work to make money. Why do they? Let's be completely blunt and frank. You show up, you're at work to make money. Why? Because it's going to help you live the lifestyle you deserve and hopefully desire as well. And when you make that connection and realize you've got to connect their business goal with their personal goals at home in their lifestyle. And when you can connect, I'm speaking on benefits with a bunch of HR people next week, and I'm going to lock them into that and say, listen, you need to connect your benefits with their other roles in their life, not just their work role, but, you know, the way I look at it, I keep things simple, and I appreciate that you made that introduction about keeping things simple, and that's a mantra that I certainly purport. And it's really looking at and helping people by identifying what are the top three roles you invest your time, energy, and money in your life. And those are the ones I coach around because they're so interdependent, you cannot separate them. And that's where I work on that 7 minutes, because you can sit down and have that conversation. And then what we do is we identify what that personal goal is. We create a visual of whatever that is. It could be a photograph or something that they put on their phone. But I said, now we paste it everywhere. And even better, we put it up on your desk at work in a pictorial form. So let's say I had a client, he wanted a house in New Zealand. So he had this one picture of a house. We just stuck it on his computer. But everyone then and everybody in the office did the exact same exercise. And then everyone in the office knew exactly what button to push. They knew everyone's hot button in that room. So how are you getting on, Fred, with getting that house in New Zealand? So you knew exactly how to press their buttons. Say, so how can I – and then the other thing is come back to the purpose thing is you say, how can I help you actually get your house in New Zealand?
Yeah, and you know, I love how you're just threading the entire conversation here this morning. You just tie it all together, and one is connected to the other, which is connected to another. It's really, really brilliant, and you know, it is simple. It when you describe this to me, it sounds like such common sense. But why don't more people do it? Why isn't everybody taking the time, you know, to do this? Do you think it's, you know, the practical time management issues, or do you have some tips for people on that? Because, you know, in theory, in idea, and in the soul and the spirit, we're agreeing with you on everything you've said this morning, but somebody might be out there wondering, well, how do I put this in a practical sense in my day today, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow morning?
Yeah, and that's a great question because, you know, usually because I know what I'm like. I can download a bunch of stuff on a client very fast, but I have to understand because I usually finish off, whether it's a workshop or whatever, I say, listen, after all the stuff you've written down, I know you've gotten lots of stuff. I said, let's just identify the top three nuggets that you can apply today or tomorrow. And because if it just sits there, it's like, I can't remember who the quote's from, but knowing and not doing is the same as not knowing. So if you came here and did nothing with it, you've wasted your time and my time, and you know what was the point? And going back to your reference to simple, my absolute all-time favorite quote, and it's one I live by, is by Albert Einstein, said, when the solution's simple, God is answering. So I always look to find real simple solutions because I don't do complicated, because when complicated happens in my life, I go into a shutdown. A confused mind says no. I think that's something that Tony Robbins said. And for me, you know, one of the aspects is, and some of it is about, I don't like the term time management because you can't manage time. I can throw my watch at you, Deb, and I say, okay, manage my time. You can't do that. But it's really about self-management. And sometimes it's because, unfortunately, with today's society, we're getting bombarded with messages and they're accelerating all the time. We get all these new mod cons that are supposedly save us time. But the thing is, they save us time, so we just add more mod cons. But, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a mentor of mine who's a three-time TED speaker. He was visiting us in Glasgow on Friday, and he was quoting some guy who said, you know, a Russian investor by the name of Yuri Gelman, I think it is, and he was talking about the pace of volume of information that's growing. He said, you know, right now, compared to all the information that's been produced in the world today, it is doubling every 48 hours. And he said, by the year 2020, it'll double every 4 hours. So we got a whole bunch. And I said, you know, and he said, you know, the pace, and I think as a CEO for Asia, Google Asia said, you know, the pace of information is accelerating. And I said, and I just sort of dropped a comment because it was like one of these epiphanies. I said, no, we need to slow down to stand out. And we need to be very selective and filter out the messages that we don't want. You made comment about the positive messages. You know, one of the things I'm very careful with my kids is filtering out the negative messages. I don't listen to the radio. I might listen to the headlines, but I don't listen to the stories. As soon as I hear something negative, I turn it off. We haven't watched television in our house in 15 years because it's just negative messaging. And then a lot of the things I used to – how many people – because this is really coming into some of the self-management – is we have productivity issues. We're trying to do too much. because, and here's two little simple tips or tools if you want. And it's what I call your success seven. Like, how many people out there, and I'm guessing that most people out there, have a to-do list? And how many people on that list have about 30 things to get done in a day? And of those 30 things, do you get them all done? No. And you might get 8, 9, maybe 10 things done. And then you look at the list, and what do you do with the other 20? You put them on the tomorrow's list. So tomorrow's list just became 50 things. How do you feel?
I'm laughing because it's like, it's so true, isn't it?
Yeah, you go, and I had this revelation a little while ago, because all of a sudden, because I used to get really ticked off, and then I'd feel like I was no good, I wasn't accomplishing, I'm useless, blah, blah, blah. And then I just had this insight to say, and that's why I created your success seven, and there's two distinctions here. Okay, so one of the things is, how many people like to do stuff? Because the stuff is, or you'll write it out, it's a to-do list or it's a task list. But how many people like to do tasks? Because task is work. Work is a four-letter word. I don't use four-letter words. I do fun. It's three letters. It's easier to spell, easier to say. So I even coach my clients and say, listen, for the next week, you're not going to use the word work in your vocabulary. You know, you're going to say, honey, bye. I'm off to have fun today. You're not going off to work. You're going to have fun. You know, it's like my daughter, my five-year-old daughter just started school. She knows it's not homework. She says, Daddy, I got lots of home fun today. Said, fantastic, let's get to work, let's go for it, let's go play with it. But one of the things in relation to that that to-do list is it becomes a grind. You know, if everybody says the word work right now, if we had everybody on this call and everybody said the word work, that's how it would sound. They go work. Because if you notice the way we say that word, it ends on a downbeat. But when you say the word fun, it ends on an upbeat. So part of the thing is that, well, don't call it a to-do list, call it a fun list, or even better, and this is one I always coach my clients into, from now on, it is no longer called a to-do list, it is called a to-achieve list. And the reason why you say that, because when you achieve something, you feel good, you fire off some endorphins in your brain, you get this little buzz. And so if you keep achieving stuff each day, you're having a great day. And then the other one is, and to make it even simpler, I said, listen, I just put no more than 7 things on my list each day. There's 7 priority things in priority order. Here's my success seven. I've got to get these 7 things done today. So long as I get those 7 things done, I've had an outstanding day. And even if it's moving each one of those just incrementally forward, like I had something on my list today and I wanted to research something, so I just found the website and had a quick read of the homepage, and I said, okay, I'll log that and I'll come back to it. When I've got a bit more space, but I moved it forward. And, you know, really it's taking that elephant and breaking it down into those bite-sized chunks, not realizing, because this is my challenge, I am a task person by nature. So I had to learn this one, and I was kicking and screaming until it finally dawned on me, this is saving my life.
Wow. I love this whole new way of thinking, and the new way of thinking gives that new way of feeling, and then that, you know, gives us a new way of doing. And the achieve list and off to have fun, you know, it's just amazing how as children, and you talked about your five-year-old daughter, you know, children are so quick to embrace these positive affirmations, and you know, they don't want to be bogged down, they want to be free, they want to have fun, but they want to enjoy that moment. And I think so much of what we have experienced, and you talked about the society bombarding us with all these negative messages and how you don't have the TV, and I've had so many guests on that have really accomplished a tremendous amount. I'm hearing so many people telling me they're getting rid of TVs and all the negative messaging, but you know, it's something that we have to get back to, that simplicity of why we're here, which is what you said at the beginning of the show. We're not here forever, and there's a reason for us being where we are, and there's something that we have to accomplish. And, you know, I don't know why it is that so much of society buys into this counterfeit happiness. I don't know if you've come up with the answer to that, because I know you coach people to you know, embrace the authentic happiness. But it's really a tragedy. It's a bad disease in our society today, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it is, because we are programmed to focus on the negative messages. And you know, I had loads of that. And, you know, I was a competitive swimmer for 23 years, and when I was 12 years old, I was competing against at a fairly high level back in Canada, where I'm from. And 8 years later, I'm watching the Olympics in Los Angeles, and I'm seeing guys I used to beat on the blocks. And I'm saying, why the heck am I not there? And it really came down to I just had the negative programming in my head. I had all the physical aptitude, and I trained harder than anyone else. And that's one of the reasons I got my nickname, Awesome. But the challenge was, as soon as I got on the blocks, my head was not focused. And that's really where a lot of us lies. You know, we tend to listen to our inner adversary, but, you know, we need to turn down the volume or shut that one off and listen and turn up the volume on our inner ally, because, you know, we've got a champion within us. We just have to listen. Remember, we're born a winner. So if we're a winner, there's a winning voice in there saying, you know, go for it. You know, just go out there and it's like I don't like the word try in anybody's vocabulary, and I coach my clients out of it, and sometimes I have to be quite brutal about it, only in that, you know, they're programming themselves to make excuses. Because as soon as you use the word try, oh, yeah, I'll try that, and you're effectively giving yourself an escape clause. But I said, no, there's no try. It's like my daughter said, oh, no, I'll try that. I said, no, sweetheart. I said, just do your best. Give your best at it. That's all I want you to do. I said, I don't want to hear the word try at all.
Right, and then that's more than good enough. And, you know, one of the things, and I love your website, and I know that you have the Einstein quote on there too, which I love as well. But, you know, you've really invested in yourself. You really spend a lot of time and money on your own personal growth. And I think that so many of us today, we get caught up in, well, taking care of the kids or taking care of the spouse or taking care of the people at work, and we forget that without the investment in ourself, you cannot give what you don't have. And I'd really like for you to share with people about that, because I think a lot of people listening are struggling with, oh, I can't spend that money on myself. You know, that would be selfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think today I've probably invested more than $300,000 in my own education.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's across a whole bunch of. Have I seen the return on that yet? It's coming. But the thing is, it's one of those things I know, because I know how I'm wired. I'm just hungry, because the more I learn about something in real life, the more I don't know. And especially if it's something I'm really interested in, I go like, I got to know more about that. Just because I know it's all integrating into me, and it's going to help me, you know, flourish and become who I am, so I can best serve other people through my purpose, which is about transforming lives, teams, companies, just bringing transformation. And when it really... I suppose some of the challenge with people on the personal development side is they see it as a cost. That's one error. Number one is they see it as an expense, whereas it's actually an investment. So anytime you're going to invest your money, you, by implication, you're expecting a return greater than one. So the fact is, it's helping you grow. And I wrote a blog about this just the other day. As I said, I made reference to it already in our conversation, is you're either growing or you're dying. If you're not feeding yourself, then, you know, at some point you're going to hit a plateau, and other people aren't going to hang around you because you become stagnant. And what happens with stagnant water? It stinks. Nobody wants to hang around that. You know, it's like I use, one of the things I talk about is the importance of being prepared to change and learn. And an analogy I use is I said, listen, I figured it out. In my life, I've changed my underwear at least 15,000 times. If I didn't change my underwear, If I didn't change my underwear, I would stink. How many friends and how many people would like to hang around me? None. So I said, you know, if we're prepared to change our clothes every day, which is, or worse, we're actually prepared to go out and buy a new car, which immediately loses value when you call it. So why would you put money into something that loses value when you could actually invest in yourself, the winner, the leader that you are, and help you fulfill your purpose? It for me, it's a no-brainer, but sometimes people just need a mirror stuck up in front of them and say, this ain't pretty. What are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, the underwear analogy. I think we're all thinking, I'm never going to – that's a classic, man. I'm never going to forget that one. And, you know, I just want people to understand, you know, there is so much more. If you've enjoyed this show, and I know that you have as much as I have, you know, you have to listen to it again. But more importantly, invest in yourself. If you want to get in touch with Dr. Richard to get some of his one-on-one coaching, you can do that and his great book, and that'll lead you into more detail of these great seven lessons. So I want to make sure that people know how to do that so that they can connect with you. And, you know, the other thing I want to give you a kudos on, I loved, oh, Jay Early's in the chat room. Good show, Deb. So much enjoyed it. I think you should be on Jay's show, too. You know, really, you have, your blogs are awesome. One of the ones you did on, it was on visualization. I don't know where you get your images, but you had the two hands into the sky, holding this bubble with this hole. It was just the coolest visual I have ever seen. And so people have got to sign up and get to your blog post as well. All right, so more of you. How can they work with you, get more of you, read your book and all that good stuff?
Sure. Well, they can drop by Amazon. They can get the book. Any Amazon will do. You can get the book in you can get it as an e-book on Kindle or whatever if you want, if that format's available, or you can get it in hard copy, and you can just go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And then you can drop by drrichardnorris.com. As I mentioned, if you go into the store and you go down to free stuff, there's a free MP3 download called The 7 Timeless Secrets for Sustainable Success in Life and Business. So your listeners can go access that. I'm just in the process of changing my website because there's a block there for the newsletter, but I'm ditching that because my blog's far more effective. So I'm just going to ditch that and just have people follow the blog, especially my I Believe blog, which is getting on. But you can go by Twitter. You just look for UB Awesome. Go Facebook, look for UB Awesome, or just type in my name. Or you can even drop me an email on rnorris@yankeepapanovembercompanies.com.
Wow. Well, God has certainly blessed you with a plethora of talents and gifts and a great ability to communicate with sincerity and zeal. And it's just been a pleasure having you on today. And I know that people will really enjoy contacting you and getting more of what you're doing. So I hope you stay in touch with us because you are one of the best people we know, Dr. Richard.
Well, I appreciate that. And I look forward to contributing in any way, shape, or form. And hopefully this has been of great value. Because I'm just a messenger with some simple messages that took me a long time to figure out.
You know, and I got to tell you, I think it's great that you were a veterinarian, and I'm sure that you helped so many people doing that. But isn't it wonderful that, you know, you've been touched or you're touching everybody's life here, which, you know, is a real testimony to what might be ahead for all of us. And I love that idea that the best is yet to come. And I think with your help, you're going to help us even more than we could ask or imagine. So what a blessing, Dr. Richard. Thank you so very much for being a guest today, all the way from Scotland.
Thank you. I'm very honored and humbled. And like I said, just everybody go out there, be yourself, and be awesome.
Be awesome. All right. Well, if you've enjoyed the show, and I know you have, make sure you share it with a friend. The only reason that we're over 31,000 listeners is because you are sharing the show with a friend, and that's how you keep us going and growing. Give them the link to the iTunes so that Dr. Richard can help them, or you can tweet about it, put it on Facebook, LinkedIn, send an email to a friend, and that is how we all help each other. And in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, I want to remind you what Oscar told us, which really fits in perfectly with Dr. Richard's theme today.
Yep.
Be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. God bless you. Yep. Get a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.